Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. In 2017, we're celebrating 25 years of helping people win. Today, we have a great word from Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, would you let us know? Send us an email at story@gutschurch.com.
Write these two words down. Foundational importance. Foundational importance. Where we're, our life is founded on, where we're planted, what our foundation is. Foundational importance. It's key. And see, if you look at this, if you think about it in terms of a building or even a plant or whatever, our lives, what our lives are founded on is going to determine the outcome of everything. And so understand that when a storm, you're either coming through a storm, you're in a storm, or a storm's on its way. That's how in this world you'll have tribulation. But be of good cheer. Jesus has overcome the world. So the storms that come with the world, we have to understand we're in this world, but listen, we're not of it. See, some of you guys used to have addictions. That's when you were of the world. You're not anymore. Man, you're of the kingdom now. Jesus said it real simply. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's not man's approval. Man, some of you guys, man, you deflected and stiff-armed the gospel in the past in your life because men rejected you or messed with you. Man, see, it's not about man's approval in our life anymore. Man, write that down. It's not about man's approval in my life. See, you have two choices. You can either please God or you can please man. You can't do both. You can either please God or please man. So if you have any man pleaser in you, you can't please God. See, so what you've got to do is you've got to determine now what your life is founded upon. You can't blame your parents anymore. You can't blame your upbringing. You can't blame your ex. You can't blame your bankruptcy. None of that stuff anymore. What you've got to do is you've got to say, this is the day. It's a new day. This is the day the Lord's made. I choose today to rejoice and be glad in it. No matter what my situation is, no matter what my circumstances are trying to dictate, I'm going to let the word of truth, I'm going to let God's promise dictate my life. Anybody say yeah on that? Okay, so it's essentially foundational. It's so important what we build our house upon. Because if your house is built on the rock, nothing that hits you will determine anything. But if it's not, great is the fall of your house. And how many times in our lives do you see, man, well-meaning even Christian people, church-going people, that, man, they got to rebuild their lives because a storm came through. Man, not anymore. Man, we're ready for any storm, anything the devil throws at us. In Genesis 14, 20, the Bible says, and blessed be the God Most High who has delivered your enemies into your hands. See, so now the storm comes or the enemy approaches. Now, man, he's just coming to give up all his stuff. See, and here's the bottom line. Let's think about it in different terms. If you're thinking about that you're under attack, let's say, you got a health issue. You know, you got a financial, you're in financial straits, your debt, whatever it might be, your marriage might be, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. See, but if we're founded on the rock of Christ Jesus, we're not going to shake. See, but you might feel like everything's shaken apart. Instead of you being under attack of the enemy, how about you look at it that the enemy's got to repay what he's already stolen from you. He's just there to deliver in your behalf. See, because the Bible promises this, and that's what matters, right? The Bible promises that no weapon formed against us can prosper, but what the enemy means for bad, God will turn it to good. See, let me tell you what the truth is about now. It's about a shift in our life. We're getting out of this rut, we're getting out of this hole, and we're shifting to what the Bible refers to, the path that we're all on, which is the highway of holiness. And the Bible says the highway of holiness, sin can't travel on it. The highway of holiness, the Bible says, God will widen the path beneath our feet so they don't slip. How have you made it this far? God has enabled you with a steady path. Man, where the word of God is a light in your path and a lamp under your feet. Man, that's what his word does. So let's get into the word a little bit. Let's turn your Bibles to Malachi. Today we're talking about a big shift. It's even going to be a money shift in your life. And I'll tell you, I know that some of you guys that have been in church for a while, it was probably 10 or 15, 20 years ago that people got up and they were preaching this huge transfer of wealth. Transfer of wealth from the world into the kingdom. And really, honestly, I've given this a lot of thought. And I've thought about it. I thought, you know what? This is all God's promise. What God's promise does is it causes God's goodness to shift into our lives. Because we enter into this place. In Malachi 3:10, the Bible says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, that I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you're unable to receive. But see, the preceding verses, God's talking to him and he's talking to him about his supply. And he's saying, you know, you've robbed me in this. And they've said, how have we robbed you, God? And he said, in your tithes and offerings. See, and we look at this and we think about the tithe and we think about the offering as a fundraising ploy of the church. Let me tell you, there's a lot easier ways to raise money than to tell people that they got to take the first 10% of their income and lop it off and put it in the bucket. There really is. Because the tithe is based on one simple principle that is one word. It's trust. Because it's not just 10% of your income. It's the first 10% of your income. So what's the devil? If I'm the devil, you know what I'm gonna do? The ploys that I'm gonna put against the body of Christ is say, look, man, you run too tight already. Your budget's too tight. There's no way you can't afford to tithe. Let me tell you, God's answer to that is, good, then tithe first. Man, what does Matthew 6:33 say? It says, seek first the kingdom of God and the gift of his righteousness. And he said, all these things will be added unto you. I'll tell you, after the service last Sunday, how many of you guys were here last Sunday? I'll just tell you, I was convicted halfway through the message. I've been convicted throughout the week that, and this is what's funny, because I'll tell you, the jabs that you take as a preacher, you know, there's the cynics out there, there's the haters out there that's like, just all about the money, just all about the money. They just want my money. And you know what? That's the farthest thing from the truth here. Let me tell you what the counterpunch is from this house. It's all about the purpose. It's all about purpose. Man, getting people to live the purpose of God in their lives. And I'll just tell you, a simple key and a shift that happens in your life is just simply the tithe. Do you understand? The principle of the tithe is throughout the word. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God said, don't touch this. This is mine. Well, see, that's what he says his tithe is. The Bible says the tithe is holy, the tithe is sacred, it's set apart. See, and we have to look at it that it says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. See, and it's not that God, you're right. God doesn't need your money. Write that down. God doesn't need my money. But let me tell you, God is requiring your heart. It's just like with your children. God's looking for your heart. And you know what? Where your treasure is, that's where your heart's gonna be. See, what's interesting is they've done studies, and in America, the typical priority for our money is when you get paid, what are you gonna do with your money? Number one, you're gonna spend it on things that you wanna buy. I mean, how many times in your life, how many times have you heard people say, man, when I get paid, I'm gonna buy that. My next paycheck, I'm gonna get those wheels. The first thing as Americans is we spend it. The second thing is we pay our bills. The third thing is we pay our taxes. The fourth thing is we save. The fifth thing is that we see what we can scrape up to give. And I'll tell you, I think a lot of Christians are like that too. What can I scrape up? And can I help you? That's the opposite of what can I believe God for? See, if we inverted that list toward number one is how we give, that we truly live and love to give. Man, number two is that we save. Man, that we invest in our own futures. Number three is that we pay our taxes. Number four is that we pay our bills. And number five is that we spend it on things we want to buy. See, it's a whole different life. And it seems so simple, but I'm not sure, and this is where the conviction lies in my heart, is I'm not sure we've been taught that. You know why? Because the punch of the enemy, the little jab of the enemy is it's all about money. Man, you know this house. Man, you'll say, what do you do with our money? We spend it. We buy as much food. We buy as much thing. We drill as many wells as whatever we can do to get to hurting people. That's where that money's going. And see, and the bottom line is that we really have to have an understanding of the trust that God requires. See, there's two things that come into play with the tithe. Okay, and write these down. The first one is faith. And the second one is incredible. It's favor. God's favor is upon the first parts of our life. So when that first 10% leaves your account and goes into God's house, do you understand? It doesn't leave you. It just shifts your accounts. It switches your accounts. Your account in heaven, now your account in the church, it goes from your bank account into God's house where his glory is. So you think about God's glory upon that 10% now. See, it's not leaving you. Man, we're in covenant with God. Everything that's mine is his, and everything that's his is mine. And that, I'm telling you, that's the deal of the century. Malachi 3:10 in the Amplified says, bring the whole tithe. Man, it doesn't go to a missionary. It doesn't go to a charity. It goes to the storehouse. And the storehouse is simply this. It's where you go to worship and where you go where you're counting on getting fed spiritually. Okay? It's where your communion is with a local body of people. And it's the local church. See, please, we can't look at this as a fundraising ploy, that somebody's in it for your money. You know better than that. You trust God more than that. See, and we have to understand this. And in Malachi, it's so clear. God says, man, you've robbed me now in this. He said, let me prove it to you. Are you ready for this? Then I'll not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing you're unable to receive. If it stopped right there, I'd be happy. I'd be good with it. But it doesn't. God, just in the same breath, you know what God says? I'll rebuke the devourer from the midst of you. Let that sink in. What if God didn't, what if he omitted the first part where he'd pour out a blessing we weren't able to receive would be so great, and he went right straight to rebuking the devourer from the midst of you? Man, what if your allergies is a trait of the devourer? What if your debt? What if your misconceptions about how to handle money? What if all that is just the deception of the enemy? Man, what if it turns things around? What if immediately? And I'm saying what if, because I know that the simple practice of the tithe turns everything around in our lives. I'm telling you. It is so real and so clear to me. And let me tell you, I'm the shepherd. I'm the pastor of this church. I'm the leader. And the leader isn't here telling you who to vote for in elections or what kind of vehicle to buy. No, you know what my responsibility is? Green pastures, fresh water, and shelter. That's it. Green pastures, fresh water, and shelter. When you want more than that, and you know what the Bible says? Stolen water tastes sweeter. Man, you want to go find some sweeter water. You want to go find some water that you didn't have to dig the well. Man, you didn't have to maintain any of it. You know what? Hop the fence and go to your neighbor's water. The only bad thing about stolen water is you get your throat slit for stealing water. See, so the understanding of this now is we have to look at it and we have to embrace the whole idea that that what this requires of us is faith. It's trusting God. See, if we don't let fear into the mix, why wouldn't you tithe? See, it doesn't stop with rebuking the devourer from the midst of us. You know what else it says? It keeps going. And God says, your fruit won't fall immature from the vine. Man, how many things I was right there on the precipice of God's blessing, and I quit. I stopped. You know what? I believe with the tithe, God's voice will be so clear in our lives that it's not a gold rush. It's not the mother lode. It's the kingdom. that we tap into the kingdom. The kingdom is God's way of doing things. Is it God's will for you to be in debt? Is it God's will for you to be sick? Is it God's will for you to be lonely? Is it God's will for you to be depressed? Is it God's? No. And let me just tell you, so much of that lines up with your finances. Think about how your money factors into those kind of impressions and feelings that are in your life. Man, what if that whole thing, what if those priorities, what if there's a big shift and it flips? And you're looking, you're saying, no, let me tell you, the first 10% goes to God's house. And your spouse may look at you and say, honey, I don't know that we can do that. No, I don't know that we can afford to do that. No, we can't afford not to. See, I know that I have to. I know. And let me just tell you what happens with the tithe. And I'll tell you what happens. God widens the path beneath our feet so they don't slip. Because every person in this place, rich or poor, that's what's interesting about this. Every person in this place, it's a sacrifice to lop off the first 10% and give it to God's house. But you know what? The Bible doesn't even say you give it. The Bible says you bring it. The Bible says, God says, return unto me. Return it to me. You know, and here's the analogy that fits. And I've used it in the past few weeks. But if I said, hey, Scott, can I borrow your car? And Scott says, sure, you can use my car anytime you want to. And I say, okay, I need your car. Can I borrow it? He gives me the keys, and I go out, and I drive his car for a month. I drive his car for 2 months. I'm driving his car for 2 months, and I'm thinking, you know what? I want to bless Scott. So I go back to Scott, and I got the keys, and I flip them back to Scott, and I say, hey, Scott, I want to bless you with this car. You guys laughed. It's comical because it's his car. That first 10% is God's. And you know what? I'm going to say that as frankly and as boldly as I can. It's not yours. You've got to retrain your thinking about your money. I've got to retrain my thinking about my money. Why? I got to retrain my thinking about my time, about my priorities. Because we live in a me-first cult society. We live in a me-first world. What's in it for me? Man, I'll tell you, if we could eradicate the consumerism in the local church today in America, oh my gosh, it probably would thin the herd a bit, but it'd be a whole different deal. Man, I'm not here for me. And I love this place. I love everything about this church. I love the frustrations of this church. But you know what? I've got to constantly retrain my thinking that it's not about me. It's not what I get. It's about him. It's about you. That's always what it is. See, tithing is us returning to God what is his. That's simply what it is. It's just returning. I'm going to return this to you, God. And you know what? What that does is God builds a trust for us. If you think about the tithe, and again, I'm going to go to the word. If you think about the tithe as a small thing, he's not asking you for 90%. He's not asking you for 50%. He's saying the first 10% is mine. Don't touch it. Don't eat it. Don't spend it. Get it to my house. That first check, that first action after I get paid. See, so now it's me returning what's God's. Well, let me tell you, what the Bible says is if you're faithful in what's small, that 10%, God will give you plenty. God will give you more than enough. Listen to this. God will put you before great men. And some of you guys are in the situation that you're in. You're in the place of life that you're in because you didn't have a chance because you weren't with the right people when you needed to be with them. And what God's going to do, he's going to open up a door, and the next thing you do, you meet somebody. I'll tell you, I could write multiple books on the people in this guts path that I've been on, this journey that Sandy and I've been on, that we'd walk, we'd come to a door, the door would open, and boom, there'd be a divine connection right on the other side of that door. Man, people giving us things, people wanting to how we got our last building, how we got this building. Man, I see it right now. There's buildings around our property right now that I could feel that are moving our direction. See, I'm telling you, because of Matthew 6:33, everything in my life that I value has come to me. Every single thing. I haven't had to go out and Google it. I haven't had to search the web for it. I haven't had to go on a treasure hunt for it. Everything in my life that I put any value on at all has come to me. Man, I look at people in this room. Sandy came to me. Gib came to me. Chato came to me. I didn't have to go, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go look for a really cool Hispanic guy that's about five seven and a half, that's very good looking and great taste in women and is a prolific at furthering at expanding the tribe. And that would be Chano. I didn't have to do that. He came to me. See, everything that Scott came to me. Man, I remember one of the first interactions that I had with Scott. We were playing flag football out in Broken Arrow or Bixby or something. And it's like, dear God, how many times are you going to let that guy get past you? How many times are you going to let that guy burn you? But it started a relationship. And now it's something I value as much as anything. And see, we look at it. It's come to me. Why? Because we seek first God's kingdom. Put God first. His righteousness, all these things will be added unto us. Think about it. All these things. What are those things? They aren't the things that we need. It's not a new Bible. It's not a ichthus or whatever you call those things that we can put. It's what the Gentiles seek. You guys know any Gentiles? You know any people outside of the kingdom? Do you know any people that don't know God? The things they're seeking are the cool, shiny things. That's what God promises us. But we've got to seek him first. Man, we know, and the writer of Hebrews says that without faith, it's impossible for us to please God. See, the tithe, think about how the tithe is the step of faith, the tithe is. Oh my gosh. But you understand, it's just a little step. It's only 10%. And it's a game changer. Let me prove this to you is what God says. Try me now that I'll not open the windows of heaven. Anybody in here have a problem with the windows of heaven open above your life? Anybody in here having the devourer rebuke from the midst of you? Man, I'll tell you, I can't shake it. Most of the conversations I have with people, with guys, now outside of church services, most of the conversations, it goes to, wait a second, we just identified the devourer that's in the middle of all your stuff. Man, you want to get rid of the devourer? You think about it. It's just so hard. It's been so hard for us to get out in front of this. It's so hard for us to get ahead. Do you understand that we run as one who wins? That means we run out front. Write that down. I run out front. I'm in front of my finances. I'm in front of my debt. I'm in front of my health. I'm in front of my marriage. I'm in front of my relationships. I'm in front of my job. Man, we're not that's the kind of people we are, but we have to understand we've got to look at faith and what does this faith bring? What does the tithe bring? It brings favor. I'll tell you, from the time Taylor was a little boy, man, Sandy and I proclaimed favor upon his life. Man, look, be reticent, be looking for God's favor. Harold, be looking for God's favor. Not just a good deal, not just something that was like, oh, this kind of makes sense to me. This sounds like it's a good deal. It's God's favor, it's God's hand on it. Man, look at God's favor. Man, there may be a job, Joel, there may be a job that you do, and you're like, you know what? This isn't gonna make a lot of money. It's kind of a break even, but I've got a stirring in my heart. I see God's hand on it. I see God's favor upon it. See, that's what we need. See, we need God's favor that's operative in our life. And us being in control and doing things our way, man, that doesn't require any faith. And you know what? We get good at operating by the arm of the flesh, and we get good at operating by our volition and our strength, and that's not what it is. Man, when we live this way, it limits us of what we could, because it limits us to what we can accomplish in our own strength. Man, I want so much more, don't you? Man, you know what? You know what this creates? A healthy, holy attitude where nothing's ever good enough. Do you know there's a healthy, holy attitude? I've been asked that a lot, especially as a pastor. Man, are you ever gonna be satisfied? Is this ever gonna be enough? It's like, no. Could there be one more? Could we reach one more person? Could we help anybody else? Man, when we live a life of faith, what the tithe does is it taps us into the unlimited power and ability of God. That's what it does. I'm not here selling you. I'm just sold. I'm not a salesman. I'm a terrible salesman. But I'm telling you, the things I'm sold on, man, I could be persistent. And I'll just tell you, there's so much in the Word about our finances. Really, way more than healing, way more than heaven and hell. Finances, think about it. Man, if the devil can shut the mouth of the gift that God's given us in preachers, and if he could make it too uncomfortable for it to be what we communicate in church, he could keep people suppressed. Because see, what the Bible says in Malachi 3, it says, without that tithe, you're cursed with a curse. Okay? And being cursed with a curse to me is simply kind of the sheer translation, is a suppression. And I just want to ask you, how many of you guys live with a suppression that's operative in your life? You feel like there's a lid. It's like, I can't grow. I don't know what my future is here. And there's a suppression that's in your life. It matters how you think. It factors into how you believe. You know, then you start saying, man, I can believe God for healing. It's just hard for me to believe God for finances. It's like, hold it. You don't have different departments of faith. You've got one measure of faith that God gave you, and it's more than enough for every area of your life. So that suppression, if that suppression's operative in Johnny's life, then let me tell you, man, that tithe, you know what it does? It opens the windows of heaven, and that blessing's poured out in his life where it's not room enough to receive it. So what it does, it flushes all that suppression out of his life. That curse gets flushed in his life. So what happens then? Where's the lid in his life now? It's not there because the windows of heaven are open above his life. So it's infinite. It's unlimited. See, the capacity, I'll tell you, if you grabbed a hold of this today, this isn't something you just consider. Man, you know the will of God here. I know God's voice. You hear it and you know it. Sometimes you just deflect it because you're his sheep. And the Bible says his sheep hear his voice. And I'm telling you, I'm looking for that unlimited life, man, throughout. And I see it, little spurts of it. That everything you put your hand to prospers. Do you understand? There's no bad news in the kingdom. The tithe is just a key. It's just a shift in how you think. You go from I can't to no, I will. I do. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. See, the hope of glory starts rising up in us, and we put faith in him, and we open ourselves to exponentially more provision and more blessing than we could ever experience on our own. Exponentially more. Man, what is more than enough mean to you? In another spoonful? No. The more than enough aspect of God, because the way God does anything is the way God does everything. The more than enough aspect of God is that he pours out a blessing we're unable to receive. It's so great. See, that's the more than enough. It's not just one more teaspoon of it. It's not just, hey, a little extra. Here's a little tip on the side. No, you know what? God wants to show himself magnificent in our lives. And a reluctance of the tithe stems from either really honestly me being selfish or to keep everything for myself and what's going to happen without it. But what that translates to is just fear. And both of these mentalities, selfishness and fear, they're rooted in a lack of trust toward God and his promises. Faith changes our situations. Does your situation need to be changed? More money's not going to help. Faith changes it. Faith moves God to action. God's already moving. What faith does is it aligns us with God's movement. Faith protects us. Faith gives us confidence. Faith positions us. Now listen, this is key. Positions us to inherit God's promises for our lives. Faith is a positive, uplifting impact in our lives. And tithing is one of the most powerful steps of faith that we can take. Why do you think there's such a mental resistance? Because those fiery darts come and it's like they're in the form of dollar bills and tens and twenties and hundreds. Man, I look at it now and I think, oh my gosh, God, church work is so expensive. And I'm like, wait a minute, whoa. That's not God. Why would I continually have that thought? That's not God. That's a fiery dart. See, I'm able to pick those off because why? Because like, wait a second, that's not God. Why would God give me the thought that church work's expensive? That just tightens up that just adds another 100 pounds on the anvil that's on my chest. But it's favor, and favor takes us beyond where we are in our own position, and we receive God's power working in our behalf. And the two things that are required is faith, and that's on our part, and favor, that's on God's part. Do you want God's favor in your life? I mean, for real. No. Let me back up and ask the first question. Is God's favor in your life? Yes, whether it feels like it or not. See, your flesh is gonna revolt. That's why you have to put your flesh down. The Bible even says, kill your flesh daily. See, and there's two things, and I'm gonna close with this. There's two things that we have to do. When you write this down, and please consider doing this today, tomorrow, this week, every day. Number one, live a life of obedience. Just be obedient to God. Don't freak out. Just trust Him. And number two, seek God. Pursue His way in your life. And in order to seek God, you've got to transition from just reading the Word to truly studying it. The Bible says it's life to those who find it and health to all their flesh. And I believe right in the bullseye of that is our finances. I'm just telling you, you get a paycheck, and I know, and we kind of have in the past too as well, that we want to make sure that we've tithed. So at the end of the year, how much money we made, and how much money we tithe, not just gave, because see, our giving is beyond what our tithe is. And we've made sure that it's over 10% every year. And it's not legalistic. Man, I don't wanna rob God. I don't wanna take what's His. I want Him to be able to trust me with what's His. Because my whole life is His. Man, God's hand comes off my life. I don't know what you live for. But study the Word. Don't take it for granted. Don't take it lightly. Don't be passive about it. It's the most important thing we have. Please tithe. I'm asking you as your pastor. And it's not, listen, it's the money always shows up for the church for what we're doing. Do you understand that? It's been 20, hadn't it, Sandy? It's been 25 years of that. I'm talking about for you. God's windows open above your life. And you know what? That outpouring of blessing isn't just one dump. It's a waterfall of blessing. And it flushes every bit of the curse and what the enemy has tried to do in your life out. He rebukes the devourer from the midst of you. Devil's just gonna nickel and dime you. See, I'm gonna close with this. The local church, in God's heart, the local church isn't about giving and giving and giving and giving and giving. The local church is about us reprioritizing how we think and therefore how we live. That's what it is. See, I don't have any responsibility toward your money or your revenue or your resources. I do have a responsibility on how you think. Now, you can leave here and reject this, but I'm going to have to stand before God and make account for your souls, for how you think. And that's all this is. It's like, look, rethink this. Retrain how you think. Some of you guys, it might be a one-time, oh my gosh, poof, I've had an epiphany. Others of you, it's like, okay, God, I need you to prove this. I'm going to try you now. But I tell you, the action that's required in the faith movement of the tithe, please do it today. Find a way. And what it does, it flips life. It flips your priorities. And it gives you the shift into the flow that God has for our lives.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.